Hi, I'm Carr Wilson, Doctor of Behavioral Health, and I want to welcome you to Covenant Behavioral Health, started in 2011. We've been an industry leader in the mental health field, servicing active duty personnel, veterans, and their families. Our practice started in St. Louis, Missouri, and has expanded with offices in Iowa and California. Covenant Behavioral Health is a registered 501c3 agency, and we're committed to servicing active duty, military personnel, their dependents, and the local community at large through education and therapeutic services. We blend professional psychotherapy and psychoeducation material in an integrated healthcare setting to assist with relationships, healing wounds of the past, and enhancing our patients' quality of life. Here at Covenant Behavioral Health, we are committed to the preservation of families and relationships. Using practical, interactive, and solution-focused approach, we provide support and practical feedback to help our patients resolve current problems and change long-standing behavior patterns. Hello, this is Covenant Behavioral Health. I am Dr. Wilson, and I'm sitting down today with Carolyn Kelly, who is a trainee for the Marriage and Family Program and the Professional Clinical Counselor. But before we get started with her today, I want to take this time and welcome you to our High Desert Professional Counselors group. We meet every second Saturday of the month from 9 until 11 a.m. We are currently meeting completely online through the Zoom application. You can visit our website at www.covenantbehavioralhealth.com/HDPC, and you can find the Zoom link invitation there. Again, that's covenantbehavioralhealth.org/HDPC for the Zoom link to our monthly meetings, where our next session is going to be May the 9th. Our guest speaker is going to be, what is her name? It just escaped me. It's going to be Jennifer Cobb, who is a grief specialist, and she's going to be talking about the process of grief. So if you're interested in obtaining CEUs for that particular presentation, there are two CEUs available. It's $20 for the cost. Just contact our office at 760-241-6044. Again, for more information. Well, welcome, Carolyn Kelly. Very nice to have you here.
Okay.
to be a part of our podcast this week. And I'm just going to ask you to just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you. Tell us what brought you here. Why did you choose this particular profession?
To be honest, when I had a heart attack at 40, I found I needed a new profession, and my mom said, "You always do well talking with people. Why don't you go into psychology?" And she got me kicked in the butt, basically, and told me to go back to school because all I had was an AA degree. So I went back to Chapman University and got my bachelor's, and now I'm at Bradman getting my master's.
Wow. Awesome. So what were you doing before counseling?
I was doing what most of my family does, which is bookkeeping. I was a night auditor at a hotel in Barstow.
Wow. Really? An auditor. Oh, wow. Now that is a jump from being an auditor. Not liking people. Typically those personality types who do well in those positions are, they don't really do well with having lots of people around. Yeah. But going from that to being a counselor, that's a big jump.
Yeah. Well, not really. The hospitality business, you still deal with people. Mm-hmm. And my manager always stuck at the hardcore cases and say, "My auditor comes on at 11. Why don't you talk to her?" And then I would be the one that just talked to the people who
really
had problems that they couldn't get answers for.
Okay, all right. So you were probably more than just an auditor then. You did more than just auditing books,
yeah.
It sounds like.
Yeah, I checked people in.
Okay.
Dealt with groups, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, man. Well, okay. Well, thank you very much for sharing that. I always ask that question because I find that most of us that come to this field, to the medical field, to the behavioral health field, something draws us to this field. And lots of times we have a personal story that's attached to that.
Yeah.
I think that patients connect. So thank you for being willing to share that. So let me ask you this. What's one of the common myths that you've heard of when it comes to behavioral health?
That you have to be crazy in order to seek out mental health. Mm. That it's only for people who have schizophrenia or who are so depressed they can't get out of bed. But it's really, if it's for anybody who just needs somebody to talk to understand that they're going through something and they need reassurance that what they're doing is the right path for themselves.
Yeah, yeah. You touched on something there. It just clicked in my mind that I often say that, you know, we have to validate people as providers. That's what, one of the number one things that we do is we validate how a person feels or how they think. And that validation isn't necessarily agreeing with how they feel or agreeing with how they think, but it's just hearing them out. It's yeah. just listening to them. It's all it is. That's validation, saying, wow, well, this appears to be causing you a lot of distress, or this appears to be a really huge decision that you have to make. And that's how we validate people. So I would agree, coming to therapy, you don't have to be crazy. You don't have to. Coming to counseling, seeking out help, it's all about that human connection, which I believe all humans thrive for, that connection. So you want to be able to connect with somebody who you can just open up and share yeah. with, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you just need a person that you don't know to be a sounding board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I would tell people that sometimes it's just good to have somebody who you don't know, who you don't have to worry about judging you or having preconceived ideals yeah. about you, or even hidden agendas, because, you know, when you talk to family and friends, yeah. they have an agenda. You know, they typically, and not that it's a bad thing, but they don't want you hurt. You know, they're looking out for you, per se. And so it's very biased when they offer you that feedback. But when you come to somebody like us, an independent, objective third party, we can tend to be, you know, unbiased. We'll listen to you. We'll be objective. And we're there to help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. So tell me, how do you think that we can debunk that therapy is for crazy people, for people with schizophrenia? How do we undo that perception from people around us?
Well, I know a lot of people don't like social media, but I like social media for the fact that you can tell the people, no, that's not true. And I often will put little positive affirmations on my Facebook page and ask my friends, hey, how are you doing? And if they have a problem, then I'll message them and say, have you thought about going into therapy? Have you thought about talking to somebody else, even if it's their pastor or their yeah. preacher, or, you know?
Yeah.
Because sometimes they're looking for help, and they have, I mean, I have a friend in Australia that I knew he was in crisis, but he would not call a suicide hotline. So I sat on Messenger for 2 hours talking him down, just sending messages back and forth until I knew that he was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just a young kid. He lost his mom, and he was having a hard time. And the fact that I had that connection through Facebook, he realized that he had a friend in me, even though I was in California and he was in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Social media, I always say social media is a wonderful tool. It's how you use it
yeah.
that makes it good or bad. So yeah. you can use social media for good. I think advocating, speaking out against the stigma that comes with seeking counseling is a great idea. When I was on Facebook, I'm not on Facebook anymore, but when I was on Facebook, that's exactly what I used it for. I was very particular. I wouldn't use it for, like, you know, bantering back and forth
yeah.
and political views and things like that. But I use it for positive stuff. I use it for promoting, you know, covenant behavior health is what I used it for.
Just recently I had a girlfriend. She says, thank you, because I posted a meme on May the 4th be with you. I do that. If there's some funny event coming up, I usually find funny posts and post. And she goes, you break the monotony of this whole COVID-19 thing. I look at my Facebook page, and the first thing pops up is something that you sillyly, you know, you put up that's so silly that just makes me laugh. And he says, and it makes me feel better.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. So you certainly need to use the power of social media for good. Yeah. And I think fighting against the stigma of seeking behavioral health care is one of those things you can do. As you can tell, you're doing it with social media. So thank you very much. I appreciate that. So education, it sounds like, is the way to debunk that stigma, educating people. I would agree with that 100%. We have a conference. We had our first one last year in November called the Faith and Mental Health Conference. And our whole goal with this conference is to remove the stigma of faith people seeking out behavioral health care, because we know within the faith community that, you know, people will shy away typically from behavioral health because it's considered, you know, of the devil and of the world and things of those natures. But when you educate people not to be afraid of behavior, because, for example, if you had diabetes, you would go to a doctor, right?
I do.
You would go to a doctor. Yeah. You wouldn't go, oh, you know, that's of the devil. You would go to somebody who was able to help you
in that area. And you listen to what they tell you.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I would say again, yes, thank you. Education is the way that we fight against that stigma. So let me ask you this. So what advice would you give somebody who was wanting to enter into the profession of counseling? Like, what would you tell the younger version of you?
Okay. The younger version of me would say, you need to learn Spanish. Because I sit there and I, you know, doing the intakes, and very rarely have they not spoke English, but the ones that do, you feel like, why can't I help them? Because I can't speak the language. And I even took a class in Spanish and did not do as well as I thought I would. But at least I can pick out words here and there. But it's not enough to help a person.
So. I agree. That's one of the things that I actually do. I regret very few things in my life. But not learning French is something I certainly regret. I have no use for the – I was just in Paris last year. I have no use for the language whatsoever. One of the things I did notice when I had my kids is that I decided I was going to make them learn Spanish. I wasn't going to go back and try to learn another language. But I really tried to make sure all three of my kids had an opportunity to learn Spanish. And my son seems to do very well, better than the girls do in Spanish. He's taking it a lot more serious and uses it every day. So I would say you are absolutely right. Learning Spanish, being bilingual, is very important, especially living in Southern California, you know, and just the population that we deal with on a daily basis. Like, most of them are bilingual, if not completely Spanish.
Yeah.
I think we have more Spanish-speaking people than we do English-speaking people. Yeah.
Especially in my hometown, it's like 60% Hispanic, and I was the minority.
Exactly, you see? Exactly. Yes. So are there any resources that you can identify that really helped you along this journey? What's two of the resources that you've come in contact with just throughout your school or your home life that you've come in contact with?
Google Scholar. That is my lifesaver. I mean, especially when it comes to doing papers. But not only that, but when I'm have an issue that I'm not clear on in homework, for instance, I will do Google Scholar and pull up the information and then read everything that I can, because I want something more current than what the books are giving us, because some of the books are outdated.
Yeah. I've used Google Scholar. Excuse me. I've used Google Scholar before. And it is a very resourceful tool. And what do you think you wish you would have known before you started out on this journey?
On which, on this one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On the psychology? The second career.
The second career, which, yeah. I don't know. I think I would have not waited so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where are you? Where are you in school right now?
I'm in the last of the program. I have the 3 practicum classes and possibly a 4th if I don't get enough hours in.
Mm-hmm.
2 more classes after this one, and then I'm through with all my classwork.
Oh wow! So you got 2 more classes. It sounds like you got to do.
Yeah,
one, and get through the practicum.
Yeah, and get through the practicum.
Oh, that's nothing then.
No. But it's my second time through the program.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is if I had known that I needed to do certain things like keep my education with the CEU credits and stuff like that, mm-hmm. I did not know that. And the advisor I had did not inform me that. He just told me I had 7 years to complete it before I'd have to start over. But when I started over, they said, well, he should have told you, you also should have done these credits so right that here. you could have not have to take all of the classes over.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Which okay. I didn't do.
Well, you'll be a better therapist because of it.
Oh,
you've
yeah.
been through the program twice. You've been through the program twice.
Hopefully, yeah.
You've been through it twice. And so, well, well, I can tell you that we're very happy to have you. I got to tell you that. So right now you're doing the intakes when patients first call in, and you're answering phones, making appointments and things of that nature. And we've had a really good feedback. So patients, you know, patients like talking to you. So that's I can tell good. You that that's a good
Thank
sign.
You.
All right. That's a good sign. So you can build that rapport with the patient very early on. And that's something you definitely want to do in order to have that patient then come back. Okay,
yeah.
Build that rapport with them that first session. And so it sounds like you are on the path to becoming, you know,
I hope so.
Very great therapist. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I like happy. It. That's a good point, is that if you it's something you enjoy doing, then you're going to enjoy.
Yeah. So things
while.
That you're passionate about. Exactly. You don't want this to be a job. You want this to be a passion where you would do it for free, but you just don't share it with everybody, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a passion. You would do it for free, but you just don't share it with everybody because you need to make a living in order to live in this society.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you said you need to do so many hours right now. How many hours have you completed so far?
Any idea? Not.
No?
I haven't looked it up yet. I need to do that this week because it has to be turned in on Sunday.
On Sunday? Okay. I know you set that up, so you got to... And or you have to do 3 practicums or 2 practicums?
Typically? They give you 3 practicums, but then they also give you a 4th one in case you are short on hours.
You got it. Okay, so you don't have to have the 4th one.
You don't have to have it. Oh, it's only if you have. And unfortunately, with the COVID-19, a lot of my fellow practicum students are going to have to take that.
Mm.
But Brandman right now is waiving the price if you apply for it.
Okay, cool. Well, hopefully you don't have to. Do you feel like you're getting your hours here? Are you?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. We can keep you busy. I mean, you can literally get your hours here if you wanted to. So you were very fortunate. You were one of those ones that before we went into the shutdown, the sheltering in place where we closed to the public, you had just started like a couple of weeks before that.
Yeah. I was just like, wait, okay.
Yeah, you were very,
now
very
what
fortunate.
To me? Oh, yeah.
Very fortunate. We kept you gainfully employed here. We shut down to the public, but we were still seeing patients through our telebehavior health system, providing video and telephone sessions. And again, you've been the godsend. We are very happy to have you. So I'm going to ask you a couple more questions here. And I'd like for you to think about your unique skills, all right? And I want you to think about what do you think your unique skills are that has really helped you to become the successful person that you are?
I think, okay, first of all, I enjoy school and mm-hmm. I enjoy working with people. Mm-hmm. I find it easy to write. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing that it's when I first started on the journey, I'm going, you're going to have a lot of research papers you have to do. But I enjoy doing that. And even though sometimes I wait till the last minute to do it, my instructors all say, you write so well that it's easy to grade. Mm-hmm. So I think that was, you know, being able to get across in words what I'm saying and thinking and how I feel mm-hmm. is one of my strengths.
One of your strengths, yeah. Being able to articulate and express yourself through your writing, which is very important, especially in this field. I mean, everything that we do, progress notes, intake forms, treatment plans, are all legal documents, and you need to be able to clearly communicate, you know, your assessment. of the patient and the prognosis of their treatment. So, yeah, you'll, sounds like you'll, yeah, you.
Yeah, also, I like talking with people. I mean, I'm just, you know, I do not like doing public speaking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am not like my father who can take a card and have 5 points and do an hour's worth of lecture. Mm-hmm. I have to have my notes and do it. And then I get nervous. I really get nervous.
Yeah.
And I talk too fast.
You were very nervous when you first came in.
Yeah.
And that's to be understandable. But you have really found your niche, though. I think you've settled in actually a lot sooner than I thought you would. Because I try to give each student, you know, I look at them after my meeting with them. And I say, oh, it'll take this long. It'll take that long before we sort of let them go and start doing individual stuff. But you have really, I think, worked hard to apply yourself. And we've been able to sort of, you know, step back and let you do more independent things, seeing patients on your own. And so I think you got it. You have it under control. I'll say that for sure. One of the other things I really like about you that I have to bring up as a credit is your ability to relate to people no matter how old they are.
Oh, yeah.
So I see you with older patient population, and then I see you with younger, like even younger members of our team that are here who may be doing their internships or, you know, practicums and things like that. The way you connect with them and just strike up a conversation.
I think that's from being from a large family. I mean, my family is yours, mine, and ours, and there's 7 kids, and all of us have, well, I don't, but all of them have children, and then the children have children, and then they marry into children, and then, yeah.
Yeah, you can't see me, but I'm holding up my thumb to her as if you guys can see me. I'm saying that is right on. That is a credit to you, your ability to talk with kids, adults, I should say, the young adults, adults, and adults. Your ability to do that is really, really a credit to you. So let me ask you this. What is your favorite word?
It's more like a favorite saying, but it's kind of derogatory. I didn't do it. When everything happens at home and I go, I didn't do it. And they go, we didn't ask you if you did. That's they all say that, all the grandkids, all my nephews and nieces, uh-huh. if something happens, it says, we didn't do it. Because of, I say it so often.
Yeah. What are you not very good at as an individual?
Probably managing my time, really. When it's leisure, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I have hobbies that I like, right? I like to crochet. And okay. I have at least 12 different projects that I have started and never finished with it or crocheting. It's just because I sit down and I go, oh, I need to crochet. Oh, wait, I have to go do this or I have to go do that. So I don't schedule the time to sit down and take time for myself, basically.
Yeah. So it's not like you need to do more structured self-care.
Yeah.
More structured self-care.
Yeah, and then that doesn't help when your mother, well, I think I was 25, and I had never really leisurely read books. Mm-hmm. And my mother's told me to sit down that she thought I was too nervous, and here, read this book. And then since then, I've got hooked on reading books.
Mm-hmm.
So as I blame my mother that we had, because when we moved from Barstow to San Bernardino, 3/4 of our boxes were her books. And we gave a lot of them away to different libraries. Even down in San Diego, we took books to the library.
Mm-hmm.
And we still have half our garage full of her books that she's read over the years.
Wow.
And it's just, that's, you know, now my sister, my brother, and my brother-in-law, we all share the same Nook device so that they're all Nook, so we don't have the books on the shelves.
Yeah. I can remember our house. Our house was like that. We had, when we packed up the kids' rooms, I mean, like half of the stuff, more than half of the stuff in their rooms was nothing but books.
Yeah.
So, and I hate moving books. They are so heavy to move. I'd rather move toys and clothes any day than move books. Yes. Okay. So you said managing time is something that you could certainly stand to improve on.
Yeah.
So if you had one superpower, what would that be?
To make anybody laugh. I mean, they can be depressed, and I will sit there and I will get them, not really laugh, but to get them out of their funk, I would, you know,
mm-hmm.
get them to try and by the end of the, you know, talking to them or getting them to tell me something, they've gone from this depressed, I don't want to do anything, mood to, oh, I feel a lot better now, thank you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Especially with the kids. The kids, when I babysit, they all say, oh, where are we going to babysit? Oh, you're going to go to, which is grandma, which is my sister. Oh, we're going to go and see Aunt Carolyn, because Aunt Carolyn will take the time and say, okay, what can we do together instead of just, you know, and then we'll pick on each other a little, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing is, you know, we have this, the dog pile on Uncle Logan thing going, which is their my nephew, and they all just go, yay. And my nephew gets into it. But that's usually because they're all sitting there being bored, and I'm going, okay. And then I'll say, dog pile on so-and-so, and they mm-hmm. all run, and yeah, get them to do things.
All right. So, what would be, if you were a food, what food would you be? If you were a food.
You mean like, what is my favorite food?
No, but if you were a food, so what food would that be? I think, I don't know. I've never really given a lot of thought, but if I was to describe myself as a food, I would be an egg roll. That's what I would be. Uh-huh. I would be an egg roll.
Why an egg roll?
I would be an egg roll because I can be sort of crunchy, sort of a little hard on the outside.
Yeah.
But once you get inside, there's this complex flavor of, you know, cabbage and chicken and shrimp and, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I've made egg rolls before. I have a scar from making egg rolls. Yeah.
So if I had to describe myself as a food, I would be a egg roll. But we're talking about you, so what food would you be?
I don't know. I like cherry. I think cherry because I think because I'm sweet, but if you cross me and you bite down too hard, you get this pit that's gonna really say, hey, you know,
okay,
I might be sweet, but you can't walk all over me either.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. Well, thank you, Dan.
Yeah.
So now, as we get ready to close out here, let's talk a little bit about your background. So your educational background. You are working on a
Master's in marriage, family therapy, and personal counseling. Yeah.
So you're doing a dual degree program where you are getting the degree in marriage and family therapy and professional clinical counseling.
Yeah.
Awesome. And your profession right now is, I mean, what do you plan to do with this degree? Like, once you complete school, where do you want to go?
I haven't really decided. I mean, I like working with the people. I think at one, I mean, it seems like it changes every day.
Mm-hmm.
1 minute I want to work with children, next minute I want to work with the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
And grief counseling. I mean, it's everything. I just haven't set.
That's okay. Yeah. And that's okay. I often tell students who come in as, I think, as practicum students, like, I'm a little wary about those ones who know exactly who they want to work with and what they want to do. I am. Just because I've seen, like, you never know until you actually get in there and start doing it. And you'll watch and see. I know I have, as a supervisor, clinical supervisor, I've watched people shift and change. Like, they said, I'm never going to work with, you know, child abusers. I'm never going to work with this particular population. And then, you know, something happens with them throughout the course of their development. And, like, that becomes their population who they are so passionate about.
Yeah.
And so I think it's okay if you don't have that right off the bat. Yeah, I do. Yeah. So let me ask you this then. So if, with that being said, where do you see yourself in, say, 3 years from now?
Hopefully in a job. I mean, I haven't worked in so long. I worked for my mother, but then she had her stroke, and then I took care of her. So I really have been working. I just have not got, how do you put it, as a bookkeeper. Mm-hmm. Don't have the quarters in.
Mm-hmm.
So my unemployment looks like I haven't worked since the 90s.
Mm, okay. All right.
Actually, it's 2004 is when I had my heart attack, and that was the last time I actually got a paycheck.
You got it. Okay. All right. So so we don't have a population group right now. It sounds like you really just, you want to be employable as a therapist when you leave here, when you get through here. So that's good. All right. So we talked about your hobbies. Your hobby is crocheting. Yeah. We talked about that. We talked about why you want to be a part of this particular field. And we are very happy to have you with Covenant Behavior Help.
I'm happy too.
Yeah, yeah, good. That's what we want. We love the fact that people compete to come and compete and come to be a student here and to learn. We really take it serious. We see ourselves as somebody who has a very, very strong and heavy burden to provide quality care for military personnel and their families.
Yeah.
And there's a way to do that, and the way to do it effectively and efficiently. And so we see ourselves as, when we take on those students, LPCs, MFTs, LCSW, we see ourselves as training people to be just as good as us. Yeah. So then the burden is lifted from us, and the load becomes a lot lighter. So that's how we see it. And so we're very selective about who we choose to be a part of our team. And we hope to pour into you. And then, you know, if you stay with us, you stay with us. If you move on somewhere else, you move on somewhere else. But you're helping to carry that load, though.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to thank you, Carolyn, very much for being a part of our weekly podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I want to give a shout out to our producer and editor, Carleon, for all the hard work that he does in the background. You guys never hear him. You never see him. He is the one who is editing, cutting, pasting, and dropping these podcasts on a weekly basis. I want to invite you to follow us on Facebook at Covenant Behavior Help or Covenant Counseling. We have two Facebook pages, one for our Hellendale office, one for our San Bernardino office. You can look for us on Instagram at Disrupting Healthcare on Instagram. On Twitter, you can find us under Covenant C. On Twitter, you can find us. Go ahead and like our page, share it. We want to again remind you of our High Desert Professional Counselors group. On the second Saturday of each month, we are conducting those trainings all online right now. 9 to 11, you get the link, you hop in. and come into the room virtually, and you join us as we have speakers who are presenting. Our website is www.covenantbehavioralhealth.org. Again, that's covenantbehavioralhealth.org. Signing off from this week, and we'll talk to you next week. This is Dr. Wilson.